So glad to see you here on campus today. I want to welcome you to worship, invite you to take God's word. Let's turn together to Psalm 13. We go back to that Psalter, the book of songs of 150 in all. We're in Psalm 13 this morning as we continue our series on pray. And so so glad that you're here, and we want to welcome those that are jumping online and joining us for worship online as well. And so thankful that you have made the choice to be here. If you're a guest today, we just want to say thank you for choosing to worship at Liberty, and we encourage you. You'll hear it again. Visit a Next Step table on your way out. If you haven't, there's a gift for you. We'd also have somebody there that might could answer Next Step questions for you. Psalm chapter 13 in the series called Pray. And as we have been in the series, really, there are five types of prayers over these 5 weeks that we are addressing. The purpose is to help encourage us to have a balanced prayer life that is fruitful and fulfilling as we exercise these different disciplines of prayer. Adoration was the first one that we spoke of in Psalm 103. If you missed any of these, they're archived on our website under the sermon series, and so you can go find it there. But the adoration, adoring our God for who He is and what He has done in our life, and through the lens of Scripture, we learn more about our Heavenly Father. And then we moved last week to confession, Psalm 38. And confession's one of those we like to skirt. Just get through quickly, keep it general. Lord, forgive us of all our sin. Thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place. And the penalty is paid in full, and move on. But confession, really, we need to camp out a little bit as we remember who our Heavenly Father is. We also remember our need as sinners. We remember we've been saved by grace through faith in Christ. We remember we still battle in a broken world in the presence and power of sin. And so daily we get defiled, we get dirty. And so we need to daily confess. Challenge last week, don't know if anybody took me up on it, was to spend some time in your prayer of confession. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes that you may see sin that's in your life. Specific sin. Write them down. Confess them back to the Lord. Claim the victory that we have in Jesus over them. They've been covered by the blood of Christ. Then wad that piece of paper up and throw it away. Now we come to another element of prayer called lament. The prayer of lament may be more unknown than the prayer of confession in our practice. Now, we lament, and we are a people, but a prayer of lament in a biblical perspective is a little bit different. And as we understand this prayer of lament, it ought to make every good Baptist say hallelujah, because we have permission through God's word to bring our complaining to Him. The Psalms are comprised of a lot of laments. In fact, the lament Psalms are the largest single category of the songs in the Psalter. And so 1/3 of the book of Psalms is made up of this type of song called a lament. There are two types of laments as we read through Psalms. We'll see them. Some are congregational and corporate. They're addressing from a people of God, a congregation of people. Others are individual laments. And Psalm 13 is an individual lament from David. And as we hear the cry of David to his God, remember this is King David. Remember this is the man after God's own heart. Remember, this is the man of God who served God in his generation. This was a man, not perfect by any stretch, but it was a man that God used in a mighty way. And this King David cries out to God with great complaint, with great confusion, sometimes with frustration, sometimes in grief and sorrow, maybe times of regret. We hear that in David's life over sinful behavior. As a prayer, lament is that honest cry of a hurting heart that's wrestling with the paradox of pain and the promise of God's goodness. I think that's on your sermon notes if you have the printed notes. Literally, a lament is a prayer of pain that leads to trust in our Heavenly Father. It's prayed in that space between brokenness, that space of frustration or confusion or not understanding, and then God's mercy. The type of prayer typically asks two questions when we see a lament. It's one question, and we'll hear this from David. Where are you, God? Where are you? Life is happening. I am hurting. Where are you? Or a question something like this. God, if you really love me, then why are you allowing this to happen to me? You ever been there? I think if we're honest, if we're going to have some raw emotions like we see from David, all of us have to say, there have been times that we look up and just say, God, I don't understand. Where are you? Now, there are times that we might have to confess, God, I thought when I gave my heart to Jesus and I desired to live my life for your glory that I would not see life getting harder. I thought it would be easier. God, where are you? And God, this isn't fair. Why is this happening to me or to us or to our family? The lament in Psalm 13 can be summarized in one of those questions. How long, O Lord? And we're going to unpack that in verses 1 and 2 in a moment. But Psalm 13 is the cry of David. I want you to feel the emotion of it. Sometimes when we read these songs, we just kind of read them and go on. But understand there is a great emotion just jumping off the page in David's heart as he addresses his father. If you're able to stand, I want to invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. Six verses. Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. And I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Let's pray. Father, teach us this pathway of prayer called a lament. Father, there are days that we lament. We really may not think much about it, but it's natural. But help us to understand your invitation to bring that lament to you, to be honest and raw in our emotions and cry out to you. But help us to see this as a pathway, not just to complain, but one to trusting in your faithfulness. So, Father, I thank you that in your wisdom and your sovereignty, you knew we needed an invitation to lament and lament well, and lament and grow in our faith at the same time. Lament and put our trust in you. To come to the end of ourselves so that we can see and experience you're the same God. The same God who did the miracles in the Bible, you're that God, that Father who is at work in us. Open our eyes now, help us to learn how to walk with you even through the days of lament. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, please be seated. In his book, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, Mark Vrogop states this, and by the way, Matt Adams and Brian Alderman are teaching a class, Dark Clouds and Deep Mercies, about lament. And so if I leave you hanging today and you want more, Wednesday night, you can jump in. They've gone through two sessions, but they have two more to go. You can jump in and meet up with Matt and Brian, and they will talk more and unpack this prayer of lament with you. But in his book, Mark Vrogop says this, lament is how you live between the poles of hard life and trusting in God's sovereignty. When life circumstances bring dark clouds, the prayer of lament is the pathway to God's deep mercy. He also comments, he said, hey, to cry is human. We come into this world crying. But as natural as crying is to us, as natural as we understand crying, lament is Christian. The prayer of lament is loaded with theology that we'll see even from David. It affirms that this world that we live in is broken, and in this broken world, there is sin and there is sorrow and there is suffering. It is unfair, but also there is a conviction and a confession. Our God is powerful. But not only is he powerful, he is faithful to his children. And so these laments, these prayers are loaded with theology. The prayer of lament stands in that gap between the pain of life and the promises of God. And in between, we cry out to God an honest prayer of lament. Now, as we unpack this particular prayer, the pattern of laments in Scripture, in these biblical laments, there are about four different parts. They're movements. First of all, there's a turn, an address to God, a call out, a prayer. And secondly, there's a complaint. There is raw, honest confession about what I am thinking and I am feeling, and I'm being honest with God. David kind of combines that turning to God and complaining, but then there's a third part. We can get stuck in our complaining mode and never make it to the next movement that we need, and that is to ask. A request from God. God, I need you. God, I need you now. Consider me. Hear me. Rescue me. But then beyond asking, there's trust. David's circumstances did not change before he prayed verses 5 and 6. But he changed. Rather than getting stuck complaining, rather than getting stuck and making his request, God, I need you. You need to do this. I need it now. I need this. I need this. David says, but I have trusted in your mercy. That's that turn to trust. In the midst of the pain, in the in-between time, I know you're going to come through. I know I win in the end. I know you're going to be faithful to provide, but I'm not there. I'm here. And in between, I get to call upon my Father and be honest with him in my request and with my emotions, and then put my trust in his ability to see me through. There's movement, turn, complaint, ask, and trust. But each step of the lament is a part of that pathway forward to hope. Prayers of lament invite us to turn our gaze from the trouble and rubble of brokenness in this life to our Redeemer over every hurt and heartache. Lament is how we trust in the middle of the pain of life. It's how we wait upon the Lord in an active way. It's that invitation. We get to complain to God, seeking him, recommitting our lives to believe he is who he said he was, and he will do what he promised to do. Some may ask, well, what's the difference between these songs or psalm of lament and grumbling? There's a big difference. Because in Exodus, we see the children of Israel grumbled a lot, right? They grumbled to Moses and Aaron about their circumstances when they didn't, they retired a manna and they wanted meat. When they didn't have water, it was bitter. And every turn they were complaining to Moses and Aaron, they were grumbling to them. And then we read in New Testament, Paul in Philippians chapter 2 said, do everything without murmuring and what? Grumbling. What's the difference? A biblical lament can see the past accurately through the lens of Scripture and cries out to God in honest emotion. Whereas grumbling, don't miss this, emphasizes the complainer as a victim and approaches God with an attitude of entitlement. Now, is that a way of the world or not? There are times that even we as children of God are guilty of grumbling when we come before the Lord our God and we in an attitude, we're not going to say it this way because we know better, but this is our attitude. I don't deserve this. I deserve more or I deserve better. Ever been there? Every one of us have. Grumbling is complaining and grumbling to man about God. Lamenting is crying out and complaining to God about man, about brokenness, about the world. Let's unpack David's prayer in Psalm 13. Number one on your notes, David's complaint. David combines again that turning to God, addressing him, and complaining. In the first two verses, there are four how long questions. And by the way, anytime we ask how long, here's what we're implying. It's been too long, right? Are we there yet? How long? How much further? How long? And so when we look up to God and say, how long, we're really saying, in all honesty, God, it's been too long. And so David looks up and he is praying, how long, O Lord? Here's his question. Will you forget me forever? David felt in his circumstance, whatever that was, that God had forgotten him. Maybe you're there this morning. Maybe circumstances of life are not easy. Maybe there's a hard time going on. Maybe you have been praying and crying out to God, God, how long have you forgotten me? David goes further. He said, not only how long, Lord, will you forget me forever, but how long will you hide your face from me? When we pray in times of trouble and we ask God to deliver and for help, but nothing happens immediately, we do feel alienated and deserted. Been there? Oh, how long, oh God, will this last? How long would the pain of these treatments last? How long would the agony of this relationship last? God, how long would the dark, deep grief journey last? God, how long would the strain last? How long will it go on? David asked another question. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will I store up these anxious concerns within me, agony in my mind every day? Feeling like he was all by himself, David was doing everything he could to come up with a way to overcome in every single day. He might get up with some more energy and he'd try it his way. You know what happened every single day? He fell flat on his face. And he went to bed in the same agony as he got up in. Repeated over and over again. David said, how long am I going to go through this? How long are we going to repeat this cycle? How long, oh God? He was living on that roller coaster going from hope to despair, hope to despair. And then he asked one more question. How long will my enemies be exalted over me? David is bothered that God seems silent and far away, and he's wondering, God, have you really forgotten me? Hey, I'm here and I'm hurting. I'm here and the enemy is prevailing. David's concerned about the enemy prevailing over him, but I think he's more concerned about what God is not doing. You been there? You see, the biblical lament takes sinners who have been saved by grace and gives us an opportunity to cry out in our honest emotion to our Heavenly Father, who understands. And there's just something freeing and something delivering about being able to be honest with our Heavenly Father, because we're thinking it. And sometimes hearing ourselves voice that question in prayer is therapeutic for us as children of God. David felt like God had forgotten him, but David knew better. David felt like he had been abandoned, but David knew better. David felt like his enemies were prevailing, but David understood victory would come. The problem is that God seemed distant. The enemy was too prominent. David was exhausted trying to do it his way. He accused. He was frustrated. He was angry. He may have been irritated. And he doesn't hesitate to cry out to God. We might put it this way. Hey, God, what's going on with you? Where are you? How long are you going to ignore me and allow me to suffer with this cancer? How long are you going to ignore me and let us suffer in our finances? How long are you going to ignore me and let me suffer in this relationship crisis? How long, oh God, are you going to look the other way? Sounds like David's script came right out of a theme song from Hee Haw. Gloom, despair, and agony on me, right? Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. There have been days I woke up with that song. There have been days I've gone to bed with it too. Here's what I want you to hear and learn from David. We must not deny our feelings and pretend that everything is going well when it's not. There is no sin in asking our Father how long. But at the same time, we need to be very, very careful not to live on emotions or feelings, because our hearts are really deceptive. David felt like God forgot him. David felt like God was distant. It looked like, based upon what David experienced, the enemy was victorious. You can write down Jeremiah 17:9 and read it later, but that just reminds us, be careful. We can't trust our hearts or our feelings, our emotions. David eventually learned, though, to replace that question, how long, O Lord, with what we read in Psalm 31:15, my times are in your hands. Well, God, I don't know how long, but I'm going to ask of you, but here's what I do know. You hold me in the palm of your hand. You number my days, and when you're done with me, you'll bring me to yourself. But until then, I am in your grip. And my security is in you. My strength is in you. But oh God, where I'm at right now, I'm out of my strength. I can't go on without you. I need you, oh God. I need you right here, right now. You ever been there? I guarantee you, when cancer comes into your life or your family, you go there. Guarantee you, when death comes and snatches away someone you love, you go there. Guarantee you, when you've worked your tail off and you've been a good employee and without notice, you're finding yourself without a job, you go there. Guarantee you, when someone on earth that you trust the most and you have confided in is very, very hurtful to you and damages your heart, you go there. And so it's not a sin to go there, but it's a part of the process of a biblical lament to be able to cast our care to our Father, knowing He cares for us and being honest, even complaining to Him. So if God has shut you up in some type of frustrating circumstances and you've racked your brain trying to figure out your own way out, but nothing has worked, keep on listening. Hang on. Look at what David does next. Verses 3 and 4. David's request, number two. David's request. How do you respond when you do pray, when you do express, when you do ask, and God still seems silent? Do you go back to the way of the world? Do you go online and shop Amazon for the most highly rated self-help book and get it on next day delivery so you can read it? Do you go on social media and ask all your friends out there that really don't know you how to solve your problem? Or do you keep running to a Father who created you and gave His Son to rescue you and deliver you, and who holds you in the palm of His hand and promises that in the end, you win? David kept running to the Lord, and he went from complaining. Here's the movement, and we need to move in our prayer of lament from complaining to asking. Look in your Bible, between verse 2 and 3, There's an extra space. And that's not a divinely inspired space. It's just there, but it's a good teaching tool. And the teaching tool is this. We don't know how long it took for David to go from accusing, complaining, to asking. But we do know it's a process. We do know it takes time. And so whatever time frame that was, David's prayer did move from complaining only to asking, making a request before God. David made three requests. He asked God to listen. Consider me and answer me. It's okay to ask God to consider, God, where I am. And God, will you be merciful? And will you just let me know you're there? Can I just ask you, if you're an early bird, when you see the sun come up, he's there. When you hear that bird sing that song at daybreak, he's there. When you see this time of the year, those early blooms and flowers start, he's there. Even if it doesn't feel like. Well, you consider me and answer me. For God to remember in the Old Testament is synonymous with him acting. That's what David is saying. God, I don't see you at work. Will you consider me? Will you act? Then David asked something specific. Light up my eyes lest I sleep the sleep of death. Here's what David is saying. God, if you don't show up, I'm a goner. I'm out of strength. I'm out of understanding. I can't. But you know, dear children of God, that is a place our Father allows us to get. So that when we come to the end of ourselves, we know he's still there. And he's still sufficient. And that's where he is at his best. And David's saying, God, if you do not restore me, if you do not refresh my soul, then I will taste the taste of death. David understands the physical toil of emotional strain and how it impacts even our body and our mind. And he asks one more thing. God, I need your favor. And he asked it this way, don't allow the enemy to gloat over me. Don't allow my enemy to say I have overcome him and the foes, my enemies, to rejoice when I am gone. David was understanding something because he was a man of Yahweh, because he stood on the promises of the Lord his God. If he failed, the enemies would gloat that his God failed. And so David is really saying, Lord, don't let your name be tarnished. Lord, bring glory to your name by refreshing me and by allowing me to overcome. And so David begins to turn a corner in verses 3 and 4, and that lament helps him practice active patience. Sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? But active patience, trust in the midst of our pain. That kind of trust looks like talking to God and being honest about your emotions. That kind of trust sounds like sharing our complaints with him and our requests to him. That kind of trust affirms that God is my only source of strength that is going to help in this time. This trust looks like believing in spite of what I see and what I feel and what I can wrap around in understanding. David made his request to the Lord. But look at verses 5 and 6. Number 3, David's trust. There's a movement from complaining and accusing to asking, making a request, and now to confirming his trust in the Lord his God. And so as we biblically learn how to offer prayers of lament, we don't need to get stuck complaining. We need to have movement to asking of our God, our Father, and we need to have movement of confessing our faith in him and belief in who he is and believing that he will do what he said he was going to do. So David ends with this expression of trust in the Lord his God. Again, there's that space between 4 and 5. That means it took a little time. We don't know how quick he got from verse 1 to verse 5. We know it's a process, but we see the end result. And it's the contrast with that word, but I have trusted in your mercy. God, I still think you're far off. You haven't moved any closer from what I can see or what I feel. God, I don't see your practical help yet. I'm still in the same circumstances, but God, nevertheless, yet, God, I have trusted in your mercy. Mercy is God holding back what we do deserve. David understood he deserved nothing from a holy God but the penalty of his sin. But David said, I have already trusted in your mercy. I've trusted in your steadfast love, that when I'm unfaithful, you're faithful. God, when I'm unloving, you're still loving. God, I've trusted in you. And he goes further. He says, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Not only have I trusted, but God, I know in the end, I'm in your hands. I'm in your grip, and I will be with you forever and ever and ever. I'm here. But God, I rejoice that it's going to be okay in the end. And then he said, not only I have trusted and I shall rejoice, he said, I will sing to the Lord. Now I will sing to Yahweh. Why? Because he has dealt bountifully with me. Literally, he has dealt generously with me. David is saying, I can sing and I can rejoice because I have been young, but I am older, and I've never, ever, ever seen the righteous forsaken. David could rejoice because he understood that he was in God's grip. David could sing because I have seen God, you show up before. Historically, I have seen you come through. I know by experience. So, dear children of God, when life is hurting and the pain is real and the lament is heavy and we take it to the Lord, we need to remember the love of God, the extent of his love through the gift of his son, Jesus, who died in our place, shed his blood, was buried and rose again so that he could meet our greatest need of lostness and rescue us and to declare us to be children of God. And now the Bible teaches that as we ask him in prayer and as we seek him and as we knock, that we shall receive, and that this God is a good father who knows how to give good gifts to his children. So in the midst of pain and lamenting, before the mercy of God comes in a practical way, we can stand based upon who we know this God to be, based upon what we've seen this God do, and we can say, God, I declare that I have trusted in your mercy, and you have rescued me from my sin, and you have secured my eternity. Oh, God, I can rejoice in this salvation of yours. And God, I can look back, and I can sing a song of redemption because you've been faithful before, and you're not going to stop being who you are now. Oh, God. There is freedom, and there is peace, and there is hope when we learn to lament in a biblical way. God knew we needed that kind of prayer so that we wouldn't grumble, but yet vertically we would lament. So we close this morning. Perhaps you're here and you don't know the love of Christ in a personal way. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus. That's where we recognize our need and God's love. That's when we recognize that we can't save ourselves, but we recognize God's given us salvation through his Son. That's when we choose to surrender, confessing that we're sinners, desiring to turn from sin and put our trust in what Jesus did on our behalf because we couldn't do it ourselves. That's when we call upon Jesus in prayer and ask him to forgive us and be our Savior. And if you've never done that, your life has no hope in your lament. Only when Jesus is your Savior can we have hope. And he invites you to come and be honest about where you are, but believe in who he is and what his son Jesus has done for you. And children of God, we need to be honest with our Father. And we need to exercise this prayer of lament. And even before he shows up and shows out, we can say, but I have trusted in your mercy. And I will rejoice in your salvation. And I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt generously already with me. Let's pray. Father, help us. We get uncomfortable when life is uncomfortable and we try to pray. Because, Father, if we're honest, there are times that we are screaming, this isn't fair, and it's not. There are times that, whether we say it or not, we act like we deserve better, and we don't. There are times that we want to be big boys and big girls and just handle it ourselves, and we can't. And so, Father, I thank you that you're long-suffering, you're patient. I thank you, Father, your love is steadfast. Thank you, Father, you pursue your children in the midst of our pain and heartache. And I thank you, you stand as that Father with open arms and you just say, come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So, Father, help us to take that next step of obedience. Whether it's salvation, whether it's surrender, whether it's confessing our belief in you before you answer the prayer. Father, be glorified in our life with our heart's decision today. In Jesus' name, amen.